In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, we read this one verse. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. That's what Peter has to say about it. I'm sure that's what Peter has experienced about it. That's what Mark watched in Peter's life that changed Mark's life so much that he ended up writing a gospel and then reuniting with Paul, who parted company with Mark because he ran home to his family when they were out on a mission. But Peter's life as an example in front of Mark that changed Mark's life, and there he is writing gospel and reunited with Paul. Tell John Mark to bring my cloak. We're friends again, says Paul after the great split up in earlier in the book of Acts. And here is how we know this about Paul, right? How does Paul feel about the persecutors, the accusers, the sinners that sin against him in every town and in every church, right? So if you look in the book of Acts, he goes there and he gets stoned, and he goes here and he's shipwrecked, and he goes there and something happens. And in one place, they actually drag him out and stone him and leave him for dead. And then he, you know, comes up and goes back into the town. And then he goes through all the places and he gets to the other end. And he goes, you know what we should do? We should go back and see how the church is doing at all the places we went to. And I think the people with him are like, seriously? Like, we got out by the skin of our teeth, which is a biblical phrase, skin of your teeth, by the way. Do you know your Bible? Yeah. Look at verse 2 again of Romans chapter 9. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. That's a peculiar and safe wish that Paul has. If I could, which I can't. So, I mean, Paul says, I wish I could be accursed. Could you imagine anybody in this room? I would go to hell if everybody else I knew could go to heaven. That's not a deal. That's not an option. Parents watching children go through stuff, I wish I could do it for them, but I can't. You know, parents watching kids make horrible choices, I wish I could make them for them, but I can't. It's a peculiar and a safe wish that Paul has. I would go to hell for the many who will. People going to hell. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Thirst that isn't quenched, fire that never goes out, a conscious experience of separation from God that's described as suffering. You know, who telling that story likes it or relishes dwelling on the point? And there's Paul saying, these people who kick me, who hurt me, who mock me, who spit on me, who persecute me every time I stand up in a synagogue, who chase me out of every town, who try to kill me, I wish I could go to hell so that they could be saved because they don't know. Accursed is a dreadful word, anathema. Do you know that from like your King James transliteration of the Greek word? Anathema, consumed entirely by God's wrath. So you're an eternal creature put together forever and apart from God. The coming apart forever of an eternal creature is what God describes as hell. That everything that's held together by the will of God that will melt like wax, and the sky that will be rolled up like a scroll, and the people made forever with God, held by God, establishes in the pinions of my wings, I will keep you. The people not God, forever creatures apart. It's just described as hell. We can't think of it. And there's Paul saying this thing. Wow. From Romans, if you go right just a couple of flaps to Galatians chapter 1, there's something in there about this, and it builds, and it builds you up. And if you had a good meal this morning already, you're not hungry. And we've got a meal for you in the scripture here, right? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Right? So Galatians, right there. So Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Keep going. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Here's what Paul says. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you. What do you think? An angel from heaven that comes to you and preaches a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. That speaks specifically to the Mormon faith, who has the angel Moroni that comes and tells people the stuff in these Bibles that comes after amen and full stop in Revelation. This extra stuff is a revelation of an angel that tells us something different about Jesus than what you know. And this verse, verse 8, says that that angel is accursed. Let him be accursed, Paul says. As we have said before in verse 9, as we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The person who follows the angel, accursed. For am I now speaking for the approval of man or of God? Says Paul, remember the guy in Romans who said, I'm not lying. Am I seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. He's either lying or it's true, folks. For you heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and I tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own people, my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart from before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles, except James, the Lord's brother. And verse 20, in what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Pseudomai. The whole story again. In another letter circulated to many churches in an area called Galatia. This guy is not a politician, and we're not called to measure his words as we measure others. This apostle is not false, mincing words to fit them into the sausage of the truthiness of the day, to fit them in with all the other lies being told about the world. He's not trying to fit in among the fake news of the day, and he's not being politically correct, and he's not rhetorically wily, you know, saying the right things in religious language to advance his cause. Paul is not clever and manipulative. He says in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 1 right there, in what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Only they were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. That's what Paul said about the witness of the Christian to the community. And this is the message that we have from the scripture today. As we wind down and as we seal it up, this is the message we have from the scripture today. Are we changed by this gospel of Jesus Christ that we say that we follow? Are we true to Christ everywhere we go and in all circumstances? Is it in a way that insists that we don't fit into the world anymore? Because Christianity is that thing. It's a bit of a square peg in a round hole. Have we lapsed out of the fake news cycle so that the passions of the day that are dangled before our eyes no longer hold sway? Right? So I came to a meeting in this church yesterday, and it was about the great work of getting the word of God into the hands of people all around the world. But I stood at the door, cut off upon entry, talking about Brexit, and jumping for every window in the conversation to get out of the conversation about Brexit, and needing to get out and to get over, and esteeming who I was talking to and appreciating that it is a serious matter of the day and it does require thought and deliberation and analysis. But on the hoof, standing at the door of a meeting for another purpose, it wasn't why I was there. But it's the news of the day. And while everything's happened, and did somebody die yesterday and not go into eternity knowing Christ? Probably. Definitely. Reliably. And there we were, and we were chit-chatting, and it's not their fault. But our hearts changed so that we might live out Christ's example. Have we put on the mind of Christ as Paul did? And what is our concern with regard to the dying world that mocks and persecutes Christ and his followers like Paul in Romans 9? Do I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren?